Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace. All right. It is the beginning of 2024. I think we're supposed to have like jets, like cars flying everywhere. They're working on those. But when I was a kid, I watched The Jetsons and I imagined that in 2024. I cannot believe I'm saying it out loud. But we are going to start this year thinking about our digital lives and the efforts we make towards mental health, our marriages, our relationship with God, our relationship with our kids, our relationship with ourself, and staying connected with our mind and our body and our heart and our soul. And so we just thought it'd be great to lean into an amazing couple, Josh and Jalen Harrell, who actually did a digital fast this last year and really learned some key things that I think you want to learn from. There's no shame, there's no expectations. So listen in, take a couple tips, maybe be inspired, but thinking about our own lives as we engage in the digital world. It's a part of who we are in this day and age in 2024. So we have to learn how to live with it and not fight it and live with it in healthy ways. So let me tell you a little bit about Jay and Josh. They are podcast hosts of Restored Living Podcast. They wear many, many, many hats, which includes parenting their three amazing boys. They're in the boy world. And they're running multiple businesses together as husband and wife and have some of their own individual pieces. They've been married 11 years, and they might sound familiar because they actually were on our podcast back in 2020 where they shared their recovery story in their marriage, which inspired a lot of what they're doing today in Restored Living. Let me just hand the mic over to Josh and Jay. It's so good to have you here today.
Oh, it's so good to be here, Tara. We love being, it feels like home, I feel like.
I know. It's so, we were just, before we got on, talking about how crazy it is. It was 3 years ago in like the midst of lockdown that we did that last podcast.
So over the phone, trying to figure out the technology. It's so fun.
Come a long way. It's come bad. A long way.
Oh, we were. But now we're on video, so we've upgraded.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, now you can see us, which is really fun to have the video component. I'm old school. I'm in my 40s. I've leaned into you guys and say, help, how do we do this? You guys are have been doing this for a while. So before we dive in, I want you guys to speak a little bit about your story. Help our audience know a little bit more who you are individually and what has shaped a lot of what you're doing today as a couple.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first?
Sure. I'll go first. So a little bit about us. Like Tara said, we've been married for 11 years. When this comes out, it'll be almost 12. May of 24 will be our 12th anniversary. And we have three awesome boys. A fun little fact about us that we shared the first time we were on here too, is that we've known each other since elementary school. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's just a fun little part of our story that I enjoy because we really have walked through a lot of seasons of life together. But we got married really young. You know, we were 20 years old, like freshly 20 years old. And so We talk about how we really have grown and kind of evolved and morphed together, which has been a really fun process and at times been a really a challenging process too, because there's just a lot of things that you don't know about yourself, about your life and experiences when you're 20, and you learn those in your 20s and you kind of start to uncover those things. And so it really has been, I would say in this season of our marriage, we're probably the closest we've ever been. And we know each other the most that we ever have, which sounds funny because of course we've known each other longer, so we should, but it's been really, I don't know, it's been really exciting and it's had its moments.
Yes, it's had its moments, which we do talk about in a little bit more in depth in those podcast episodes. I think they're like toward the beginning of when you were doing everything with the Living Wholehearted podcast, which is so wild to me. It feels so special to be one of the first guests. But yeah, we had a really hard season in our marriage come up where stuff hit the fan. I'll be PG about it. Stuff hit the fan, and we had to really look at ourselves and the brokenness that God was holding right in front of us. And we knew He could restore it. We were both willing to do the work to help restore it also. But I think there has to be that component of your work and God's work that only He can do that creates that restoration. And then using the tools that we were so grateful to have, just awesome therapists to walk alongside us, and just mental health tools to be able to not just grow in our marriage, but then grow in our parenting and grow in our business ventures to be better leaders. And that led us to the cohort, which we'll talk about later in this podcast, I'm sure, because we've just been on this 2-year journey of really diving into becoming a wholehearted leader with Jeff and Tara. And so it's been, I couldn't say enough good things about where God has taken us on this restored living journey of sorts. And we're just excited to share some of the wisdom that's been shared with us.
I love it. And you guys do that so well, not with ease. I mean, it's with effort. And I think that is kind of the false idea people have, is that leadership is just something that, you know, you either have or you don't. And you have to learn how to be a healthy leader. Most of us get dropped in the deep end of the pool and are like, good luck, learn to swim. And you guys have really taken the bumps that you've hit and said, okay, we need some mentors. We need some people to come alongside, the therapists, the cohort. And it's really been a beautiful thing to get to watch up close and personal. So, you know, and before we dive even further into the digital fast, I know that people are like, get going, Tara, but in terms of CVI, the core values index, we talk so much about that in our training and equipping, our counseling, our coaching, our cohorts, all of our parenting, courageous girls, it's everywhere. And the reason is because we believe a wholehearted leader knows themselves, and they know their greatest contributions, and they know their limits, and it shapes a lot for us marriages. So before we dive in, I'd love for you to share, what are your core values, and maybe one thing you've learned about a contribution that you bring to the table. And then when we talk about the digital fast, we'll talk about how your wiring played a role in that as well. So Jay, why don't you start first? What's your core values index? And then how do you see your contribution to your marriage and your businesses?
Well, I'm thankful to learn what my contributions have been, because I think, as anybody would say, I want to be a well-rounded person that knows how to do kind of everything. And my core values is very not set up for that in many ways. My wiring is, I'm a very strong merchant and very strong builder, but I am very not strong in the banker category. My innovator is all right. I can hang with my innovator, but my banker is pretty much like riding a bike to Seattle. It's very not accessible. And I am thankful for my husband having a very high banker, because he completes me in many ways. But honestly, one of the biggest things in learning about our wirings from the cohort and my own personal leadership journey was asking for help in the ways when I couldn't show up in certain places. And over that 2-year cohort, actually, there was a lot of pruning that God did in my life, and I needed to ask for help way more than I was asking before that. And so I feel like understanding my wiring and my shortcomings allowed me to know what I'm good at and what I'm really masterful in, honestly, so masterful, but also knowing that it's okay to ask for help from the people in your life, and that that actually does take some of the burden off of you that maybe you're putting on your own shoulders as a mom or as a wife, playing roles that just exhaust you. And so when I finally learned that I could ask for help, that was really life-giving and freeing to me, to be able to say, hey, no, I'm like really good at this. Like, let's take my Lambo somewhere and like I'll vision till the cows come home, you know. But having Josh there as my filling in the gaps for my marriage, and that's not the way it is for everybody, but for me, it was just so freeing to understand more of myself and then be able to fully live that out in the day-to-day things that I do.
Mm, I love the word freeing. It is freeing to learn to live in our limits.
It is.
I love that, Jay. Okay, Josh, mm-hmm. What about you?
So what I love is, so I'm a high merchant and a pretty high banker. And so what's interesting about that, and I think one of the takeaways that I had at one of our retreats when we did a deep dive on the CVX, we've known about it since we first worked with you guys several years ago, but learning that, I used to really shame the banker part of me. It felt very nitpicky and very naggy. It felt like I kind of slowed every process down because a banker is very detail oriented. Like the A to B is a lot of tiny dots in between. And I used to feel really frustrated with myself about that. So I didn't really honor that part of my wiring. I was fine with my merchant because I love people. I love conversation. Everybody loves a good merchant, you know, because we just want to visit and have a good time. But the banker felt like a drag. And one of the things that you guys shared, and I think it was, I don't know if it was you or Jeff, but shared about bankers is that the heart behind the kind of meticulous attention to detail is a desire to create excellence and a desire to make sure that everyone has what they need. So it really is actually a very people-oriented wiring. It's I remember right, you said it's a pretty extroverted wiring in the sense that it's really looking at making sure that the resourcing takes care of everyone. And knowing that about it and not seeing it as like, I'm a calculator that is just kind of, you know, obnoxious, or I'm like, you know, it reframed that whole part of my personality for me. And so what is great about us is that we both have this high merchant, so we kind of can really meet in that common ground area. But then she has this really driven builder and I have this really driven banker, and it helps us to complement each other really well. So I learned that I can lean into her strengths in the areas that I'm just not wired for. And I don't have to get so frustrated with myself trying to, live in a way that I'm not wired to.
I love that. Well, thank you for setting the stage, because I think this plays a role when we think about how we approach our digital world. And thinking through this year and 2024, as we kind of try to, and I say we because I'm inviting everyone to join us three, and Jeff is not here, and really rethinking how we're doing this digital world. So I love it. And for a quick overview, you can visit our first 4 to 5 episodes of the Living Wholehearted podcast to learn more about the CBI. But we do this work all the time. You can even go to livingwholehearted.com and take the CBI to know your own. But the merchants are relational. The builders are the task. The innovators are the ideas. And the bankers are the excellence, like the actual details of the community. And all of us have a little bit of some of each. Some of us are really tiny. Some of us are like a bike, I think you said. And some of us are like a Porsche on the highway. So it's really fun to start to learn as a couple who you are and who your kids are and how this impacts them. Changes a lot of things. So let's talk about this digital fast that you guys decided to do last year. Talk about what was leading up to it and what preceded the decision to cut out all digital devices for a while.
He's looking at me like I'm going to go first.
Yeah, you go for it, because she was the spearhead of this.
I am the starter of things. I found out in my wiring. Yes, my builder is a starter. And so I was, you know, honestly, it was April. We'd just been through, a pretty hard year where we got surprise pregnant and it turned my world upside down. You know, we have an 8-year-old, a 6-year-old and a 1-year-old. At this moment in time. And we were not ready to have a 1-year-old in our lives or a baby for that matter. And so God did a lot of really good work in pruning my plans for that year, specifically in my leadership and the things that I wanted to do. And I feel like this media fast was kind of a culmination of that, if I can say that. I feel like it was the final spiritual discipline that we needed to go through as a family of 5 that was just really impactful. And here's the reason why I say that. Because when you go through a season of pruning, we have to have a time where everything's been pruned and we're ready for whatever's next. And those are the best times to listen to the Lord. They're the best times. But there's so many things that distract us from listening to what God is saying. Remember, God doesn't talk in loud shouts. He's not going to like wave aside and try and get he's going to talk in a whisper. And I think the enemy is trying to use distraction, especially in the digital age that we are in, where phones are at our fingertips, to really just get us a little bit off course. It's not even that big. It's just a little bit off course. And so I was really feeling from the Holy Spirit that we were not having the proper connection in our home. And I really wanted to have better connection. At this point, I had already really been off of social media for about a year. So I will preface that I went kicking and screaming getting off social media, but I literally could not function in my pregnancy. And there was so much. I was on social media all the time for my job. I'm a health coach by trade, so I love helping people in their health. But when my health was just spiraling out of control, I needed help. Mm-hmm. And so I was leaning into resources and tools. And so to be able to be in that place where after a year of shutting off the noise, you kind of get a lot more clear about what you really want in life. And I was experiencing just these amazing moments of, because our devices were turned off, the two of us, not entirely, but for a majority of the standpoint, we were having great intimacy and just amazing conversations. Mm. And so we could tell that our kids were not experiencing the same thing. And so we wanted to all get on the same page. I also, at the same time, was listening to a sermon from a church out in Tennessee called Church of the City Franklin, and they were about to do a digital media fast. My friend goes to that church, so we were kind of doing it together in a sense. But I just felt the Holy Spirit impress on me, like, this would be a great thing to try. Mm. Like, what if you tried a media fast for 30 days?
Mm. I'm going to mirror back what I'm hearing, Josh, first, because there's some nuggets there, and then I want you to add in all of the pieces for you. But one, I heard you were listening to your own health and how it was impacting you. You were noticing the longing for connection and intimacy and what was happening when there wasn't the distractions. You had already been kind of driven to take a step of pulling off of social media for a little while. So it was kind of a step towards, and there was some accountability and somebody else was doing it. So there's positive peer pressure that happens in surprising ways. And you were longing to hear from the Lord. And so those were some of the key things that I was hearing was playing a role. If we want to help our kids develop a lasting faith, we need to be teaching them about Jesus in our homes. Parents are so important in raising kids to know, love, and follow Jesus. But it's hard to know where to start sometimes. There's a lot of amazing content out there. And Christian Parenting did all the sorting and filtering for you, and they put together a resource to help you navigate it all. It's called The Discipleship Simplified. It's a digital guide that includes some of the best articles, podcasts, and videos on topics like faith at home, reading the Bible, theology, prayer, church and worship, and character. You'll also find conversation guides and discussion starters, even scripts that you can use with your kids. So if you've ever wondered, what do I say when my kid doesn't want to go to church? Well, Discipleship Simplified has a script for that. If you want to know how to weave scripture and conversation about faith into your everyday life, well, Discipleship Simplified has ideas for that too. So since this guide is digital, you can download it straight to your phone, your computer, or you can even search through the resources. Whatever you need, it's there. I know this guide will be helpful every time you have a question about discipling your kids and giving you further insight on how to care and love and guide them towards Jesus. You can go to cpgive.org to download your copy for just $5. That's the best of this best resource from top Christian parenting contributors for just $5. Again, go to cpgive.org. So our wholehearted leadership cohort applications are opening in January. We are so excited to come alongside another 10 to 12 leaders. We just want to clarify what this cohort is about, why it's worth it, and maybe get rid of some of those myths or misnomers out there that are keeping you from moving forward. So a couple things we talk about in Shrinking the Integrity Gap is that leadership is lonely. This is providing a really intentional community to be able to dive deeper and to build safety, to practice the principles of what we're building through Shrinking the Integrity Gap and the Wholehearted Leadership Cohort, to practice those in a safer community with us guides, Jeff and Tara, and then to be able to take those into your organizations, into your home. And we believe that happens through that slow and steady drip. And at the end of this cohort, you will be living from your design and knowing what you're to say yes to, so that you can be confident in all your no's and to learn how to live out of priorities and not out of urgency. We all know that as leaders, but to actually have the practice to do that, it's coming from a trauma-informed neurobiological pathway of saying the slow and steady experiential shifts are what changes us. So you get 15 individual coaching sessions. You get 4 2-day retreats in the beautiful Willamette Valley of Oregon. And you also get 20 group coaching sessions with Jeff and I and our Living Wholehearted coaches. It's an exceptional package. Maybe you're not ready for the cohort, then pick up our book, Shrinking the Integrity Gap. You can also pick up our e-course and start there and be ready. Pray next January, we will open up the gates again. So if you are ready, or this is pulling at your heartstrings, or you're kind of thinking already systemically of someone else in your wake who might be a good fit for this, go to livingwholehearted.com. And right at the top, you'll see the cohort there and applications open in January. We will select and let those leaders know in February, and we will get launched and moving for March. It's such a great gift to come alongside leaders, helping them live with integrity from the inside out, bringing all of who they are, their mind, their body, their heart, their soul, and their relationships before God and before one another. Okay, Josh, what about you?
Yeah. So it's interesting because I remember her bringing this idea to me, and I wasn't against it, but I was very nervous, just because I, not so much for myself, although we had really gotten into a routine of like, you know, you get to the end of the day when you have 3 kids, the ages that our boys are, and you're just so spent. So it's very easy to just veg out and watch a movie, watch a TV show. You're looking for something that's kind of light and, you know, alleviates maybe a little stress or something funny or whatever. And I remember being more, I was on board, but I was worried about how is this going to work with our kids, because they are very tech savvy kids.
They love video games.
They love video games, which that probably comes from me because I grew up playing them all the time.
So did I. I love video games. They're the best, man.
So, there was that hesitation of like, how is this going to play out with them? So I think that was my biggest, it also for me was a confirmation that we needed to do it, because I thought if I'm so nervous about how they're going to do without it, then it probably means we have too much of it in our home. Mm. And we were at a place of just, there was a lot of, we were experiencing a lot more connection between us. And we thought, man, if all of us were doing this together, that could really foster deeper connection in our home. We noticed the kids were fighting a lot more often with each other over really small things, and they're siblings, so they'll fight, of course, but it was a lot of things that, you know, it was just kind of like, I think what we described is we realized that we were just always, so like full and so much stimulation coming in that any little thing that bumped into us, we would be sent over the edge, you know?
That's
so
good.
They had so much going into their brains, you know, they use tech all day at school and then they come home and they play games. So they were just always at max capacity. So one little thing would set them off, and they'd get angry with each other, or we would get short with them or whatever it might be. So, it came at a time where we just knew like, this is something we need to do. That's to some might seem a little bit more extreme. Cause I'm sure we'll talk about how we approached it. But it was something that was just needed for us to kind of really reset.
So good. So you were noticing again, like you picture a full glass of water. Everybody's really full. So you didn't really have to knock it much before something would spill out in terms of those emotional outbursts, or they're just low tolerance for one another. So that, yeah, people could totally relate to that. And that's just true of what media adds, the noise adds. The other thing was just the worry, the reality of like, how are our kids going to handle this with being lovers of gaming? You guys love gaming. You love tech. We don't want to paint it as like an evil thing, but how's this going to work? And you notice that you even wondering that question was probably a cue of like, oops, we might be doing this too much. So I love that awareness. And I think so many of us can relate to that. So why don't you move towards like, what exactly did this look like? What did you actually cut out? So Jade mentioned she cut out social media a year prior, but what all did you, how did you set this up? So what was going to be the fast? And then how did you break the news to your kids?
That's my favorite part of the whole thing is how we broke the news. Cause that story is just hilarious.
Oh man, but, it is.
Well, we really, so when we were listening to the sermon series and we keep referencing that, cause it did really spark this for us. They were very clear of like, figure out the approach that's going to work for your family and really encourage families that don't either do this all together, you know, because like one person in the family doing it, that can become actually really isolating and can cause a lot of frustration and even like more discord. And so they really encouraged, you know, if it was you and your spouse or with kids to all do it together. So we knew that some level of connection over technology for us could be a good thing if we kind of harnessed it and it was really focused. So the basics of our approach were that during the week, there was no leisure technology at all. Or 6 days a week, there was no leisure technology at all. So there was, you know, the kids used computers for school. We used our phones and computers for work, but we had set hours for us for work. So when it hit a certain time, our phones went away. And the only thing we would use it for is like relational connection. So to FaceTime family or something like that. The kids had no screens at all during the week. On Friday nights, we've had a tradition since the boys were little of doing a pizza movie night together. And so we kind of reclaimed that tradition because it had become really uneventful and kind of not much of a bonding experience because we'd all be on different devices trying to watch a movie. It was a really big mess.
Y'all know what it's like. Yeah, I don't need to tell you.
So what we did is we said once a week on Friday nights, we're still going to do pizza movie night and you guys will get to take turns. You'll alternate kind of who gets to pick from week to week. And we'll do that one thing, and that'll be our one thing of leisure technology. And other than that, we had none throughout the week. So all video games went away, all TV shows went away, all social media and kind of scrolling, that was all gone. And that was kind of our approach to it. And we did tell the kids, obviously, ahead of time. We gave them a 3 days notice, so you should talk about.
Well, if you want to hear the real story of how that all went down, we have that on the Restored Living podcast in recent episodes. If you just look for Media Fast, there's probably like 4 or 5 episodes that we did that are each an hour long about the whole process. So I will just say, like, if you want details and you're a banker and you want to know exactly how it happened, go back there and find out how it happened, because we give resources that we used. We also link to the sermon series itself on there as well. So if you want to check that out, but at first we really just made a plan. Like the plan was we're going to all commit to this and it's for connection. And we knew as parents, we wanted to make sure we were heading that front for ourselves. So we made sure the kids knew what our rules were for ourselves and what their rules were. And they kept us in check. Like I was really, and Landon especially is our 8-year-old. And he was like, you're on your phone, mom. And I'm like, sorry, just you said this really quick. But you know, the telling them process, we didn't tell them too early, but we did give them a few days of notice, like, hey, this is what we're going to do. And I'm not going to lie, they were mad. Like of course they were mad because you're taking away their candy in an essence.
And they
like,
did nothing wrong.
It's digital
which is
candy.
How usually parents use this consequence. So it's like, what?
Yeah. And we have done that in the past. So we made it really clear that this is not, we're not punishing you. This is just something that's healthy for our brains. We try to really explain to them in terms they can understand of like why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the fact that we really made an emphasis on the fact that we wanted to put connection between all of us first. That was the biggest goal in all of this. And in putting connection with us first, that honors the Lord. And so it was really more about that. And I was actually surprised once we started how little they fought it. If I can say that, I really thought it was going to be
gave us when we told them, which was running and crying for 20 minutes behind the couch because they were so afraid. You know, it's just
I will say the day before we started, we gave them a no limits digital day, which I think helped a little bit just to kind of like get it out of their system and do what they wanted to do. But once we started, that first week was not as hard as I thought it was going to be. And we talk about that in the podcast too. It was actually very surprising.
Yeah. Talk about why you think that is. I mean, I have my theories, but I want to hear what you guys think in terms of it actually wasn't as hard for them as sometimes parents fear or even they fear.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to go first?
No, you go for it.
I think it's all just a lie that we're believing. Like if I can say that, I think the big lie that we're believing about technology is that it's super helpful to our parenting, and it's just not. We found our kids behaved, our kids behaved better when they didn't have the technology. And I think sometimes when we give our kids technology, we think, oh, just so that they'll be quiet. No, they were quieter without the technology distractions. In fact, I think they were more disobedient with the technology. I mean, that's what we found through the whole month, was that we actually really enjoyed having dinner with our kids out at a restaurant when there wasn't technology involved, because none of us were on our technology. And I think that's a big thing that we realized as parents, was the fact that we're on our screens really sets the tone for our kids to want to be distracted too, because they want connection with us too. I mean, imagine your mom and like the two most important people in your life, and their gaze is upon something else other than you. They literally don't have anything else, and they're lonely because of that. And that is something, you know, raising three boys, Josh and I are super passionate about, is we want to raise healthy men to go out and be healthy husbands to their wives and to be healthy dads to their kids. And that requires us to model that is the most important form of ministry in our life. That is the most important focus in our life. And I think we've just, like I said, we've just veered a little bit. Like, we think that text message that's coming in, or that email that's coming in, or that work thing that can't wait till tomorrow is more important than those sweet little faces that all just want our attention. Like, that's all that they're craving.
Yeah. And I would say too, yeah, well, I think one of the things that it came down to was technology is filling, for a lot of us, it's trying to fill some very valid needs, right?
Yeah.
Like it's trying to fill, whether those are relational needs, whether it's just like simulation, whatever it might be. But I think the reason it was not as hard as we expected is because we didn't just take the technology away, but we intentionally replaced it with connection. And it got back to the heart of what every human needs and what every person is made for, which is being seen and connected and truly known by somebody. And so we were seeing them with fresh eyes. They were seeing us with fresh eyes. They were seeing each other with fresh eyes. So there was something about, we removed all of this noise and it brought our cups down to like half full, you know, because you're going to get simulation throughout the day, but it left room inside all of us for relationship, and it left room for like the positives and the challenges in relationships. So when something happened that would have normally caused a fight, we had so much space within us to hold room for that. It didn't send us over. I was like, oh, okay, this is just a part of like being in a relationship with my sibling or with my parent or with my spouse.
Yeah.
So I think we got back to the heart of what our kids needed and what we needed, which was connection in our home. And so it mitigated. I think if we had just pulled it away or just made them do it, it would have been absolutely disastrous. It would have been just a point of contention and chaos. And so I think that was a big part of it probably for us too.
I love it. I have so many questions that I think our listeners are wondering too. And we can go listen to your podcast. So that is part of the offering, the Restore Living Podcast. But the pieces I love. Okay, so I'm a marriage and family therapist by trade. I have been teaching play therapy and parenting and marriage counseling and all kinds of pieces, but the same tool for every single relationship, whether we're leading or we're marriage, but children particularly. You spoke to that. They're longing for attention, to be the apple of our eye. And I was just doing some training with some courageous girls leaders who are very, you know, asking a lot of the parenting questions. And I just said, you know, one of the simple things we teach parents to do from Dr. Gary Landreth's play therapy model is every once in a while when you're on the computer or you're on your phone and your kid's like, mommy, mommy, daddy, daddy, look, look, you know, and they're kind of bugging you. And you're trying to teach them not to interrupt, right? So you're like, mommy's in the middle of something. But to flip it on its head to say, I'm going to stop what I'm doing right now and look my child in the eye and take the 30 seconds to say, you're more important than what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
What do you want from me right now? And they're like, look at my picture. Wow, look what you did. And then they run off. We're all good. Mm-hmm. It's connection that is shaping that little brain and that longing. And that translates to God later on as we're their first God, no pressure, parents, right? Like, we're the ones who, if they are getting the image that when they're in our presence, we're more distracted and we have something more important to get to, they feel that more than they can tell us that. Mm-hmm. And then we see these funky behaviors and then we're disciplining them, right? So we're not filling the bucket that you guys are talking about of connection. So you guys did an intentional 30 days of no devices and found that it actually served all of you in ways. So you spoke to some of the fruit of that, less behavioral issues, enjoyed going out to eat. Oh yeah, totally. being able to see them solve things with each other a little quicker and have more patience for one another as brothers. Was there anything else that came out of it for you individually, your marriage, or you as a woman or as a man?
Go for it.
I would say
there's so many things. I remember you saying this was the best month of my life.
Oh yeah. Wow. And I was just to say to that point,
I feel like it was remarkably.
Yeah. And I think the thing that the word peace is just what comes to mind. I felt so much peace within myself during that time. I didn't miss technology at all. Like not even a bit, to the point where I was like, I could just do this forever. But obviously, again, like we said at the beginning, this is about integrating because this is the world we live in. So it's learning what is a healthy rhythm of technology. But I think the kind of extreme shock to my system, I just hadn't felt that peaceful in such a long time. And I felt like I was hearing from the Lord more clearly because my quiet times weren't happening when my brain was just already firing off on so many different things. You know, it's just that constant state of overstimulation. Quiet times were just more of like, let's get this done because my brain just was on high alert. And I feel like it moved, removing all of that that intake and all of that input just moved my heart into a place of rest where I felt like, man, I can spend time with the Lord, really hear what he's saying to me. I feel like I'm hearing, you know, when he's prompting me to do something or when he's just speaking to my heart and just loving on me. I felt like I was way enjoying the kids way more. Because I love spending time with them. It's just that a lot of times there's so much happening that there's just like, I feel like technology just puts like little walls between us and you have to really work to get around them. Whereas when you remove it, you just remove the barriers in a lot of ways. And then for sure for us, like our connection in the evenings, we would either sit and have a conversation. We would go to bed earlier and get more sleep, like practical
or
things
not
too.
Get sleep. Can I just say that? I mean, you have time to, yes, you have time to be.
But I do think that's a valid question that someone's going is, well, what did you do with your time? So I think answering that is really important because I think that's, people are honestly unsure what to do when I don't have a TV show, I don't scroll, I'm not, you know, I don't know all the things people do, gaming.
Yeah.
So yes, you have more sex, you talk more, you sleep more, you have deeper quiet times, maybe just linger longer, you can hear clearer. Mm-hmm. What else, Jay?
I mean, I would say the things around our home got done. Like just the, we are so eager to rest and have, and just have the things that we want done in our lives too. It's like, we can't hold that many balls. And so, you know, when something got dropped, like the digital media part, that still takes up our time. And I feel like time is the most valuable asset that we have in our lives. And so when that was off the table, there was time for me to read that book I'd been wanting to read or to take the dog for a walk in the evening and just enjoy God's creation. And, you know, also the relational things that were amazing, but even like there were times where I would go out on our daybed and we live in Arizona, so it's nice and beautiful all the time, in my opinion. But, I would go out on our daybed and I would just sit and be reading something that I wanted to read. And, my kids would come out and bring a book with them and they would come and they're not normally like that. Like they don't just read all the time, but to see them also figuring out what they can do and using their brains to be able, like they got so creative during the month that we didn't have to entertain them the whole time either. I think that's the other piece to it, is we had times of intentional separation from each other so that we could do individual things. We weren't always together all the time. So the pressure wasn't on Josh and I to make sure that everybody was not bored, right? It's so good for kids to be bored. And I actually was so surprised that the kids did not, they didn't fight that harder. I thought they would fight it harder, but once they kind of figured out what they could do, they would ask us like, can you come play with me? And I'd be like, you know, just hold on one second. I'm just going to do a couple minutes of reading. If you want to read with me, you're more than welcome to. And then we can go do what you want to do. But I really do feel like one of the biggest fruits that we experienced was our time freedom back. I think so many people are waiting for to have more time freedom. I hear time freedom as something that especially entrepreneurs are looking for. We're looking to work to gain time freedom so we can spend more time with our family. We don't realize that if we just take the time to be present now, we actually have all the time that we need to get things done. And that helped in the reentry process too, of being able to, because it was a rough reentry from this like little bubble to how do we do our life with technology and work and all of that combined.
I love it. One of the questions people would ask me, Jay, you're reminding me of, how did you write a book? So back in 2018, I wrote Courageous. It didn't get formally published till 2020, but I was not on social media at the time. And I remember connecting that dot of like, I actually had time because I wasn't spending it scrolling. I wasn't posting. I wasn't doing anything. Now I fight that in a different way because being an author, you're on social media and you have to regulate it differently. But it was the piece that people don't realize how much time we do spend on our devices. And not that you have to go write a book, but the idea that there's a lot of things that you'll end up doing, creating hobbies, getting your hands dirty. And kids, like you said, need to be bored. And it's something we're seeing long term. I always think about that healthy dad or healthy wife. One of the maladaptive coping strategies we have as adults when we can't cope with being bored, we end up being the aholics, whatever that is. Alcoholic, workaholic, I mean, add the alcoholic. And it's usually, I'm not comfortable with the margins in the white space. So we do our children's service in learning how to have the margin and going, what can I do and what do I want to do? And freedom to not have to perform or produce. So there's so much good that came out of this 30 days for you. And you're like, ooh, let's do this again, right?
Yeah, we're at the point where we've talked about recently, because reality is, you know, it wasn't like we had this magical reentry and it was like, now we only do an hour of screens a day. And
it's okay, so talk about the reality of the reentry.
Right. Although that was the hope.
The hope was, that was the idea. In an idyllic world, that would have happened. But reality was, we ended the media fast flying up to Oregon for one of our cohort retreats with you guys. And the reward to the boys was there's a game they had been wanting for forever. And so we rewarded them by getting them that game. And we said, while we're on vacation, there's going to be loose regulation on screens, because we knew we would be fully at the retreat, and there just wasn't the capacity to regulate that. We still really used very minimal screens while we were gone. But then we came back, and for us in Arizona, summer starts in May, so we came back to summer break and
in June,
and it starts to get hot, and so you're spending more time indoors. And reality was, we had regulation and boundaries around it, but it wasn't this perfectly structured every day looked a certain way. What we try to be more aware of now with the kids and with ourselves is noticing when some of those signs of overstimulation come up, and we talk about that with the kids. So like if we're noticing that they're getting more short with each other, or there's a little bit more not even outburst, but just like unregulated emotion, hey boys, I think we need to take a break from some screens. I think we all have a little too much. There's a little too much stimulation. We're going to take a break. Why don't you guys go play? Mom and dad are going to work on some stuff around the house, whatever it is. So it's more that it's created an awareness where the boys can notice, or we can help them to notice and kind of help them regulate a little bit and notice what's happening. Mm-hmm. But more recently we've said, you know, oh, it'd probably be good to do. We even, after the first one, said, we'll probably do this on a once or twice a year basis, where we do a little bit more of an intentional regiment or structure to it for a month or so, just to help remind us of like what a good healthy baseline feels like. Mm-hmm. So that then maybe each time we do that, then what we return to is just a little bit healthier, you know? So it's like, we're not expecting to be perfect after the first one, but if we do this over the course of them growing up and for ourselves, then maybe what becomes our norm is something closer to that, where we aren't using screens as often as we do right now, even.
I would also say seasons. Seasons are really important. You know, like the Bible talks about seasons all the time, a season for this, a season for that. And the time that you do your fast, I think, is super important. Like, I would not highly recommend doing this during the summertime or when your kids are on break or any of that, right? I would choose an intentional time to start when the kids are at school and you have kind of that natural structure already, so that it doesn't feel like such a huge thing to change. But just knowing, trusting the process too, I think, you know, really committing to the process and grace. That's the other piece. Tara's been good at teaching me grace, but knowing that, you know, during the 30 days, were we perfect? Absolutely not. There were weeks where our rules did not quite go as planned and we felt it. Like the first week we were really good. And then the second week, a kid got sick or something like that. And we talk about this in the podcast too, but having grace for those moments where there maybe is a little bit more technology that's needed because you can't control life that happens to you, and knowing that that's okay. And that you're still, the effort is what makes it the experience, right? I remember, you know, fasting as a kid growing up in the church and feeling like I had to be perfect at it. And the truth is, God wants our hearts, not what we actually give him. He wants our hearts. And so I think that's one of the biggest things. If you're thinking about doing a media fast like this, and this kind of piqued your interest, like, I would like to connect with my family more. Your heart posture is really what matters. And when you have the heart posture of wanting to get closer to the Lord and the things that he has for you through something like a fast, that is all that he wants. And he will honor that in abundance.
Yeah. So you're saying it's not about the perfection of how you do it, but maybe the heart posture and the effort. I love two things that I want to make we draw this to a final point for our listeners. One is, we all don't learn or change through information alone. So we can tell our kids all day long, this isn't good for you, yours is too much media, right? Blah, blah, blah. They hear it, they know it, they get it from school, they get it all over. But what changes all of us is new experiences. Mm-hmm. So that's what you gave your kiddos, was an experience, an exposure to what it feels like to do this. And then the practice of, hopefully over the years of their childhood, to have this on and off. So they'll start to get used to what it feels like to be overloaded and what it feels like to have room in my cup. And they'll start to go, okay. And it's not staying, having room in our cup every day of your life. That's not the goal, nor is it reality. But it's learning how to attune to that and keep in step and saying, okay, I don't have to go to the extremes where I'm so overloaded, I'm biting off everybody's head, I can't regulate my body. The second thing is that the digital devices, no matter if it's all good, your kid's learning math and Spanish at 2, I mean, whatever it is that you believe in, it's increasing anxiety for every one of us. And the neuroscience is clear. It's the number one thing we do when kids come in. Parents are like, my teen, my kid, we've got lots of anxiety, you know, ADHD type behaviors. We're not sure if they have actual ADHD. We're looking at device use and how much input is coming in, because our brains weren't made for this world we live in. We're made for human connection, eye to eye. So it's not all bad. It's just how much. So this is a beautiful picture. So go to Restore Living Podcast. Check out the Media Fast series that Jay and Josh did, and you can learn more about how they did this. But maybe just one shift might be a key for you if you're listening today and you're like, I think I just want to maybe pull one thing off the table this week and see how that feels, and the experiential shift. We're going to shift gears at the end here, and I want to be able to share how the cohort experience, again, not just information, but an experience for you, 2 years of intentionally walking with other leaders around the country who are trying to do this internal work where we learn our stories and the impact of our stories. We learn about our wirings and how to learn in the design of who we are and lead from that and accept our limits, as you spoke to, Jay. And then understanding what is healthy and unhealthy in all relationships at work, at home, and in our communities. And really trying to integrate a 10-year vision. Eventually you get a 10-year vision and how to back up the truck and be able to align our lives today with our yeses and our nos so we can live with integrity in the direction of that 10 years that we feel like God is calling us to. What do you think is one thing, I know you probably have more than that, but one thing that you feel like you, that shaped you, impacted you, or you're walking away with after you finish this 2-year wholehearted leadership cohort?
I will say for me, it's been that being a leader is not what you do. It's who you are and how you are in the world. You know, I, over this 2-year leadership cohort, I really thought that, this was going to help me get ahead and do more. And, like I alluded to earlier, the process of pruning that the Lord put me through, there were times where I didn't feel worthy to be in the cohort, or I didn't. And you might be looking at this cohort and being like, but I, is this for me? And I would say, yeah, it's for you. If you have, I mean, everybody has someone that they're leading, and you might not know that yet, but you have someone that you're leading, and the person is yourself. And so for me to be able to learn that the person that I am by knowing my wiring, by knowing, knowing what I want to do in 10 years, by knowing my story, even, you know, the fact that we start the cohort sharing stories with one another and just being able to be in the grief, but also be in the triumph as well. Like, that was a very remarkable time for my leadership and for connection with other leaders and in a safe space to be able to do that. And so I feel like for me, it really was that that concept of being a leader is who I am, and how do I stay grounded in that wholeheartedness and then go out and do the things, because I was trying to go out and do the things without having that firm foundation. And now that I have it, I feel so much more confident in all of the areas that I do lead.
Hmm. Thank you, Jay.
It's hard to pick one. There's so many good things about it. I think the biggest part is, and you hear this through, you know, it's called the wholehearted leadership cohort, right? And I used to think wholehearted meant you kind of like all of the messy areas have now been tidied up and everything looks really nice and neat. And what I walked away with was understanding what it looks like as a leader to hold the triumphs of my story and the hardships in my story together, and to look at them both as evidence of God's goodness, and to also see of like, what does it look like as a leader to lead from a place of not my brokenness or a place of trying to perform? Because it can be easy to swing into the extremes of, I just live in my brokenness and my story. And it's this cycle of shame, which is where I was, a lot of shame, a lot of guilt, a lot of, I'll never be good enough, I can't do this. Or you can swing to the other side of just performing, and everyone thinks that you're really good at everything because, you know, on the outside you are, but on the inside you're dying, right? So that integrity gap is just growing, the chasm's growing, and realizing that really healthy, whole leaders are just honest. Like, they're just honest about they're honest about the highs and the lows. And it's neither of them is seen as like overly good or overly bad. It's just, this is the story of who you are and your experience, and how do we bring that before the Lord and have him use it in the ways that he knows how to shape us, to mold us. And that's what I felt like I walked away with, was just a clearer sense of like who God made me to be, you know, cracks and all the different pieces of my own life and story. And how is he calling me to take the life he's given me, to honor him and to lead others? And that does, it translates into all the areas of life as a spouse, as a father, as a leader. It's not just about how you get ahead in whatever business you're in, but it's about how you live with integrity in all those different areas.
Just makes me giddy inside to think of the things. Again, we could, a lot of us read this, we teach it, right? We know these things as leaders, and yet very few of us have actually sat through the process of letting someone else lead us and have the experiential piece of it, because that is really what changes us from a neural pathway, seriously, just the way God made our brains and how we know change happens. But we all want to fast track in today's culture, right? The digital age. We just want, like, tell me how to do it, 1, 2, 3, and then I'll do it. And that just doesn't work. And that's why we're seeing more and more as the pressures of leadership fall on us, the greater the capacity, the greater the leadership, the heavier it is. And when the character isn't built up from the internal world, a crash is going to happen. And when the crash happens, what do we do about it? How do we integrate that? And it's not like all of a sudden we're out. So there's this both and piece that you're speaking to. You guys were one of the youngest in our cohort. We love working with emerging leaders.
We're a little young.
Yeah. And then the seasoned leader. And we intentionally put together a group of co-ed men and women, young and old. Sorry, older seasoned people. I'm considered old, but I'm not that seasoned in my mid-40s. But then there's the combination of ministry, nonprofit, social influencers, and business leaders coming together and learning from one another. If there's a younger leader, an emerging leader, what was it like for you guys to be in a cohort with all these seasoned folk and who've been doing leadership for a really long time? What was that like for you?
Go.
A couple of things come to mind. One, it felt very... I don't know if I want to say affirming. There was a sense of just seeing that no matter what season of leadership someone was in, there's a lot of commonalities, regardless of if you're a newer leader or a seasoned leader, just understanding that there's certain commonalities regardless of that you'll experience. So just realizing that we weren't like alone in certain aspects of leadership that we were wrestling with. I think also that the fact that there was a mutual benefit to, for us, for example, as younger leaders, to learn from the wisdom of people who have been leading for many years and to hear their insight. And then for us to be able to share new perspectives that we might bring to the table for, you know, people, because a lot of times those leaders are working with people who are our age, you know, and so being able to offer a perspective. And there was, because it was such a, you know, it's not a huge group, cohorts aren't huge. There was 11 of us. And so the beauty in that is that there was so much, we were able to build some really solid trust and intimacy with each other in relationship to where, you know, we could share things with each other, and it held a little more weight than, you know, some random 30-something saying something to someone in their 60s, or, you know, some random person in their 60s trying to give advice to a 30-something. There was a relationship there. And so I just think the value in that piece alone of being able to learn from people who have walked the road and gone before. And for us to also come along and say, hey, we have some fresh ideas, like how we could approach this. And I thought that was really well received even within our group. I mean, we talk about all the time, we love the people that we've gotten to do this with. We're so sad it's ending. I'm not going to talk about that. But we're so sad that it's coming to an end.
We all bond. It is powerful. Just been,
I know. Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
This. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think one thing that I stepped into, I used to feel a lot of imposter syndrome, that like, how could I lead at such a young age? Or why did the Lord have us do this so early? Because we've really been in the process of personal development since we were 22. We had kids young, we got married young. And so over the last 10 years, looking back, I'm very thankful for the investment in us, because it helped us maybe avoid some of the pitfalls we might have had we not been in intentional communities with people who were way ahead of us in that. So that I'm really thankful for. The other thing is just owning where my lane is right now, right? So for me, at the age of 31, realizing, people used to tell me all the time, you have so much time, this is so great. And I'm like, I just want to get there. And now I've really embraced the fact that time really is on my side. I have, you know, 10 more years with my 8-year-old son, which is crazy to me to think about that he'll graduate in 10 years.
Well, now he's 9.
And now he's 9. I know. Don't even talk about that. Don't talk about it.
We just lost a year in a matter of seconds.
I know. But recognizing that, you know, the most important work that I do is in my home right now. And that was not something I was willing to look at before I started the cohort. And then to fully embrace that and be, oh yeah, my first mission field is raising up these kids. And then in 10 years, I'm going to have so much time to do all of these other things on my heart too. It doesn't mean I can't focus on them now, but what should that look like in proper proportions? What do my margins need to look like? How much time do I actually have to devote to these things? And when I do choose to work on my phone instead of sit with my kid, that's a big choice that you're making that I think some of us don't think about. And so, you know, it just gave me more permission to be in the lane that I'm in right now and have that be okay and know that the future's coming and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not that I have to lay it down forever, but knowing those boundaries and limits is good.
Yeah. I think being more emerging leaders, there's an angst of feeling, and I felt it for years. And I remember being around those more seasoned leaders and they look back. I think that's the gift of being in a diverse community is they remind you and go, yeah. So I started these 5 nonprofits that are saving, you know, children around the world, and yet my own kids missed out on me. And those are sobering. And that shaped a lot of Jeff and our pace. And honestly, God still grew the fruit. There's still things that came out of saying no to lots of things so we can choose our family, our marriage. And it's still happening. It just often happens slower than we all want. And I think even seasoned leaders would say that. But if we conquer it all so early, the burnout rate, you know, when you're sprinting, sometimes it's harder to run the full marathon that God's calling us to finish our race well. And so you two are, I'm just so excited about Josh and Jay. Make sure you check out their podcast. They've got a lot of wisdom in their years and of experience, but it is because they've chosen to sit with others and learn from others and to be students and followers as much as they're leading. And they are a voice. They're speaking to this generation. And I think they've got a lot of things that are important. So check them out. If you're interested in restored living on marriage, parenting, integration of mind, body, heart, and soul, they're taking a lot of what they've learned in the cohort and putting their own twist on it and their own expertise. They've got a lot of it. So before we close up, if you're interested in the cohort and you're just, there's any part of it, go to livingwholehearted.com and you can go to the Wholehearted Leadership Cohorts. We've got one for women. That's a 1 year. The 2 year is what Josh and Jay did. A lot of couples do it, but you can come in as a single or your spouse doesn't have to participate. It's just co-ed. And that one is a 2 year slow and steady drip. And then we also have a helpers cohort for professional counselors. We have a unique dynamic if you're in the helping field. So we do a cohort over there. Our executive coaching 2-year cohort is opening up right now. So apply. And it starts March of this year and we will begin. Try not to let the questions stand in the way. If you're a high banker like Josh, there's a lot of them. And I would encourage you you can email us. We'll answer those questions for you, but to go ahead and fill out the application and let's see what the process is. Just because you apply does not mean you'll get into this cohort, but we will try our best to get you the needs that you have, whether it's individual coaching until the next cohort opens, but apply. Let's see what happens. And I'm so grateful for this conversation today. Josh and Jaylen, it's so good to have you. Remind people where they can find you. Are you on social media now?
Yes,
we are
reintegrating into that world. So
first things first, I want to just say thank you to you and Jeff and all of the work that you guys do. You know, if you're listening to this podcast and you are young, I would encourage you consume this content like it is your bread and butter. It really has helped us become the leaders that we are today, and we would not be where we are without them. So we are so Absolutely. Thankful for this mission of Living Wholehearted and all that it's doing. We love partnering with you guys, even just on a podcast, but in many other ways, we also love partnering with you. So we are very grateful for you guys. Absolutely. And yeah, you guys can find us on restoredliving.org. We're not .com, we're .org, restoredliving.org. We have a new website that we're very excited about that's just going to have some great free resources for you and community things to be able to plug into the restored living lifestyle and what that looks like, you know, really rebuilding, renewing, and restoring yourself to the purpose God has for your lives. So we're really excited about that. And then
on socials, you can find us just on Instagram at Restored Living. Super easy. So you can go on there. We will, you know, sometimes share just different podcast episodes, things like that, as well as just things for you to engage with, things that can help prompt you. And just encourage you in, you know, your walk with the Lord and also what he's doing in your life to restore those different pieces. So feel free to connect with us there as well.
Love it. Well, as we shared, we're in a new cadence this year. We're every other week, so we're bringing more conversations from Jeff and I and specific people that we know, and we know they have some content that we want to share with you. If you loved what you were hearing today, make sure you pass it on to someone or leave a review. Those are always helpful for people to find the Living Wholehearted podcast. And to be a part of our newsletter, go to livingwholehearted.com, be a part of our community where we are. We're resourcing you in lots of different ways. And so grateful for you. So until next time, continue to grow in being the leader you would follow.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.